So I'm looking at a lot of blue suits have arrived in town, and they're all looking well. The Northern Ireland players, the Republic of Ireland players, of course, getting into position in France. Everyone arriving during the course of this week at their training camps. Let me speak to Mark McIntosh, who's down in Lyon. Mark, good morning.
How are you, Frank?
I am very well, Mark. Is the atmosphere good? You know, I'm reading some of the reports in the papers and whatever. There's a general feeling of excitement, or is it just another day at work?
Oh, no, there's definite excitement. The charter flight yesterday into Lyon, you know, it wasn't as boisterous as some other charter flights. I think it's the game faces are on, the game heads are on, but you can tell every single player just cannot wait for this to start.
And give us an idea of what will happen over the next few days, Mark.
Well, today they're going to be training for the first time in France within the next hour. So they'll be doing that, and then there's just going to be several different media commitments for the players. There's two players will be interviewed today. Tomorrow's going to be slightly different in that it's like an open training session. So there'll be locals there, and every player will be available for interviews. So the fans back home will certainly hear everyone tomorrow. But basically every day there's going to be media requirements for most of the players, and obviously training. There'll be double sessions. And just gearing everything towards Sunday for the first game.
Any sign of the fans generally around, or will they come later in the week?
I think they'll come later. They won't be in Lyon. I wouldn't have thought, you know, they'll sort of gravitate towards Nice where the first game is on Sunday. So there won't be too many fans around the place. But it's a home from home, because when the players arrived towards their sort of base camp yesterday, there were no Ireland flags even on lampposts. There were no Ireland flags in shop windows. So it's a bit of a home from home for them.
Yeah, so the local people making the teams who are staying in the area feel welcome.
Very much so, and I know that the mayor has been to see the Northern Ireland boys, and they've been invited to a reception tomorrow night as well, so a few of us are going along to that. So I think the entire communities are getting involved in this, and they're proud to have international teams staying with them as well.
The preparation, it has to be incredibly serious. I saw that comedy film last night, actually, on TV, Shooting for Socrates. We don't want it to be like that.
No, I mean, those are certainly the days gone by. Everything is planned to the finest detail for the last months and months and months. You know, the IFAF had a team out here for the past week as well. Every single detail you can think of and a bit more has been looked after. And certainly, I mean, the teams have to be prepared for this. And there's armed guards everywhere. You know, every single little detail you can think of has been looked after.
Yeah, that was my next question, actually, Mark. What is security like?
Certainly, if you're walking in and around the town, there's not too much that you can see, but certainly anywhere near the team, there are armed guards. They'll take absolutely no chances. And that's the way it has to be. You know, the team are in a separate little annex of the hotel, and no one will be able to get anywhere near them.
And media presence, how many are we talking about? There was the great story, which was in, I think, maybe it was in your paper, or you're writing primarily for The Sun on this visit, I presume.
I am.
Yes.
Yep.
So I think it may have been in The Sun. It was also in the Belfast Telegraph about the BBC. They had more staff than Northern Ireland's footballers.
So well, I would say that's right.
It's more BBC people at it than there are footballers. There's something wrong here. However, having said that, there'd be significant media presence generally.
Yeah, it's huge. Certainly, you know, obviously we've got a lot of people from Northern Ireland over covering Northern Ireland. There's a lot of English and Scottish-based journalists covering Northern Ireland. But aside from that, you know, even the game in Trnava at the weekend, we had Polish journalists there as well because we played Poland in our first game. So there's a huge interest. And for that reason, this is going to be a huge shop window for Michael O'Neill and every single one of his players.
Yeah, when you say shop window for Michael O'Neill, it really is. If he could get after 12 on the bounce without defeat, if he could go into the Poland game and come out with something from that game, a draw, go into the Ukraine game, come out with some form of result that keeps Northern Ireland very much ticking over for qualification, his value is going to go up as a manager, isn't it?
Without a doubt. You know, if Northern Ireland were to get even one victory in this tournament, I would be pretty sure they'd be queuing up to sign Michael O'Neill up. The Irish FA certainly know that. That's why when he signed his new four-year contract, there was a significant get-out clause with compensation having to be paid. And Michael O'Neill's a very clever man. Everything he touches at the moment turns to gold. And, you know, he knows that his stock will never be higher.
What is it that he has, Mark? Because I watched the game on the TV over the weekend against Slovakia, and I thought to myself, Northern Ireland just seemed to have great ideas. They seemed to be a team playing with confidence, and they were trying little things, especially in the corner and back flicks and whatever, that, you know, you see, if you don't mind me saying, the likes of Man City doing, but the really top grade teams, and the Northern Ireland guys were pulling it off very, very well. Michael O'Neill seems to have, number one, confidence in his players, and also, number two, the ability to spot who can do the little bit extra that could conjure up a goal.
Yeah, he's got plan A, B, C and D. That's the thing. You know, I was talking to Aaron Hughes after his 100th cap on Saturday night, and he was saying for so many years, you know, Northern Ireland turned up just hoping for some sort of a result, and if they got a draw, they would celebrate a draw. Not like that anymore. You know, there's a genuine belief that this side can actually do something special. And by qualifying for a first major tournament in 30 years, I mean, I don't know what more they can do. But Michael just, he knows which players to play. The right formation. He'll play different formations during individual games. And we've seen that in the friendlies because he's been trying different things with his formation at the back just to try and to counteract what's going to happen in the first game against Poland. I can't speak highly enough of Michael O'Neill. And I think if Noel Arnold were to get even a couple of points in this group, I personally think they'll go through. Maybe that's the hard rule in the head a little bit. But Michael O'Neill surely has a very top job waiting for him.
There's no doubt about that. And he's also a gentleman, as you know yourself, Mark, an absolute gentleman and such a modest, modest individual. Mark, as far as you're concerned and the other journos, you know, is there a sense of it being hard work? I know the boss of the Sun's probably listening and you're going to say yes, but just pretend he's turning the volume down for a moment. Surely this is a labour of absolute love and a significant amount of time will be, I suppose, poolside with your feet up.
I would love to say that that would be the case, but unfortunately not. There actually is so much to do. There's a lot of travelling involved as well. So last night, you know, I wasn't finishing work till maybe 10 o'clock at night. And I actually had a rant on Twitter because we got to the hotel. There's no phone signal in the hotel. The Wi-Fi was ropey. So little things like that, walking about the street with a laptop trying to get a signal to send the copy back to the paper. So it can be difficult, but look, it beats working for a living. I think everyone here knows how lucky they are. And sometimes journalists can forget just how lucky they are to be in a privileged position. But, you know, I'm going to enjoy every second of this. Because my only memory of Noel Arnold at a major tournament was the sticker album in 1986. So I'm going to enjoy this.
You are but a child. Mark, thanks for speaking to us. We'll keep in contact with you during the Euros. Thanks for coming on. Thank you. It's Mark McIntosh there, who's across in France.